It's a beautiful day to be at the Missouri State Fair. It's a beautiful day to celebrate agriculture. And it's been a great summer for Missouri agriculture. Good weather almost everywhere in the state. Crops and pastures and hay that look as good as I've ever, as any of us have ever seen them. A great victory for our industry just last week. But we didn't get much time to rest. We didn't get to rest on our laurels because on the national level, we have an issue that is extremely important to agriculture, is extremely frightening for those of us who make our living on the land. And that not only includes, of course, farming, but people in the construction industry, in energy industry, anything, anybody that moves things from one place to another has great concerns about the new rule on the Clean Water Act, the waters of the U.S., about the waters of the U.S. So we're joined up here today with a group of our representatives from Washington who will be talking about the rule, talking about their thoughts about what the EPA is doing. And it is a great deal of pleasure that I'm going to introduce all of our speakers, and then they will be turning to the podium in that order. But we're proud of all they are doing and will continue to do for Missouri and the U.S. So behind me, I have U.S. Senator Roy Blunt, U.S. Congressman Blaine Lukemire, U.S. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, and we also have Ms. Ashley McDonald, who's the Environmental Counsel for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and she'll be speaking on the rule as well. So I would now turn it over to Senator Blunt, and please help me welcome him here this morning.
Thank you, buddy. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Blake, and congratulations to everybody who worked on the right to farm. I was Secretary of State for 8 years. My guess would be that this is a narrow margin, but a margin that holds up, and it makes a long time difference. None of the three of us are lawyers. We'd be hesitant, and we'd be quick to say. But as a non-lawyer, I think putting this in the Constitution matters. It matters when something comes up on the floor of the General Assembly, and others can stand up and say, wait a minute, the Constitution of the state of Missouri says that this, what we're talking about, is something that's uniquely protected in the Constitution. Makes a difference in court, I would think, if people have to go to court to contend that they uphold their rights. And in all of the discussion of whether this benefits big farms or little farms, my sense is that big farms can generally take care of themselves. That family farms are much more likely to be impacted by rules that don't make sense than other farms. So let's go to the topic that Blake Hurst brought up, the rules that don't make sense. I just actually saw one of our people who works for the EPA next door and said, well, I'm going to go next door and talk about what a bad job you all are doing in so many areas, the EPA being one of them. This week I've been talking about a bill that I introduced in the Senate that both Vicki and Blaine voted for in the House. And the House passed in a bipartisan way called the Enforce Act. And the Enforce Act would give members of the members of Congress the ability we don't currently have to go to court early and let a judge decide whether the president and the administration are properly enforcing the law or not. Under the current situation, we don't have any standing in court. We can file a friend of the court brief. But to do that, a rule has to go into effect. Somebody has to be negatively impacted by the rule. They have to be willing to go to court. And that court means maybe two levels of federal court before the Supreme Court. So a couple of years later, you find out, as the court ruled two or three times in the last session, no, the administration has no authority to do that. So we'd like to be able to intervene earlier and say, okay, we've got a disagreement here. A majority of one of the two houses of Congress, if not both, believe that you're not properly enforcing the law. Let's settle that right now. And certainly the clean water proposals would fall in that criteria. When in the early 1970s, the Congress passed the Clean Water Act, they gave authority to the EPA over navigable waters. It's a term that had been used in federal law since about 1899, and it meant waters you could actually navigate on. What a shocking, What a shocking surprise that would be. That is not all the water of the United States. It is not every water, every drip, drop of water that could eventually somehow wind up in a something that you could define as a navigable water. It's an overreach that impacts, as Blaine said, every builder, every county commissioner, every city official, every farming family, and it should not be allowed to stand. Even if the EPA was well motivated here, this is more than they could ever do. They can't regulate every ditch in Missouri that water runs down by the side of the road. Even if they wanted to, and even if their desire was to do something every one of us would agree with, which, of course, it wouldn't be, but even if it was, they couldn't do this job. The consequences of these actions easily rob us of our natural opportunities. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when I see some of you at lunch, but our natural opportunities are pretty great. You know, world food needs are going to double in the next 55 years. The river system becomes more important than it's been in probably 100 years as it tries to connect with both Asia and Europe and the opportunities there. There are many logic. This is like the logic of the Keystone Pipeline. That oil is coming out of the ground. We are clearly the best customer for that oil from Canada. We're their best trading partner. They should want to sell it to us. But if they don't sell it to us, and they're willing to sell it to us at the Texas rate, which is about 20% less than they'll sell it to anybody else, if they don't sell it to us, they'll sell it to somebody else. You know, logic doesn't always work if people do illogical things. Common sense doesn't prevail if people pursue policies that don't meet the common sense standard. And as I told our friends in Jefferson City when I had a chance to speak to them at the General Assembly last year, the closer you solve a problem to where the problem is, the more likely you're going to get a solution that meets that standard of common sense. And the further you move the solution away, the less likely it's going to meet the solution of common sense. And the very fact that the EPA would say that navigable waters means all the water that could ever somehow trickle into a navigable stream indicates just how far afield they are. These are regulations we shouldn't let stand. We need to look for every way we can to get the regulators under control. The Enforce Act would be one. Another one that I'm for is making members of Congress vote on every rule and regulation that has any economic impact. But not only are the regulators out of control, they're unaccountable. And you and I need to be able to get our hands on somebody who at the end of the day says, yes, we're for that regulation. And if that happens, it's going to make more sense. You know, the Congress, once the House passed cap and trade, which I wasn't for, people figured out what it was. The Senate would never have passed cap and trade because people figured out this is about doubling my utility bill if I live in Missouri. But regulators can do things. The president then says, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so we'll find other ways to do cap and trade, and they're trying to do that as well. That's the other massive economic destroying EPA proposal that's out there right now. No matter what Gina McCarthy says, the concerns about this are legitimate. They are not myths. They are not ludicrous. The comments of the Farm Bureau that reflected those of farm families were not hogwash. You've got regulators out of control, and they're out of control actions will do the wrong things for our state and the wrong ways for our families, and we're going to fight that. Blaine?
Thank you, Senator, and I think you understand you have a great friend in Senator Roy Blunt. He's somebody who understands the issues, does the hard work of pushing solutions to those issues in the Senate. We work with him all the time on our side of the building. And he's someone who listens to his constituents, listens to the state, and the leaders that you have to make sure that your issues are addressed as well as we can in Washington. I, too, want to extend my congratulations to all of you for all the hard work that you did in trying to support and get Amendment 1 across the finish line. Now, before I got up here a while ago, somebody said to keep my remarks crisp. So that's a new word. I haven't heard that before. Instead of short, keep them crisp. So we'll keep them crisp here. But I do want to congratulate you. I know it was a tough issue. There was a lot of concern about it. My office got a lot of calls on it, in fact, the last few weeks, and I tell people the best thing that happened is the people called. They were concerned enough because of the confusions out there that they took the time to call. And we could explain to them that this was an important issue because while it doesn't necessarily do everything that you can to stop this, it puts a hurdle in the way. It puts one more barrier for HSUS to come in and negatively impact our way of life, our agricultural industry as a whole, and our food supply in general. And so I think it was a great victory the other night. We're going to continue to work with you and support you whenever if they do a recount on it, so let us know how we can help. But again, thank you for all you do for agriculture. With regards to the Waters of the U.S. proposed rule, the other day we had in a small business committee, which Sam Graves is the chairman of, and I'm the vice chair of, and he called a hearing. We had the number two person from EPA at the hearing. And boy, did that guy get an earful. I mean, we have people from all over the country who are on our committee. The Democrats and Republicans both went after this guy, saying this was the most ridiculous thing you can imagine. And there's a word in the law that really is the sleeper in this whole thing, and it's hydrological. All the water that is hydrologically connected, so in other words, every piece of a molecule of water that is connected to another one, they can technically regulate that. And so it's interesting because the EPA director was sitting, or number two person, was sitting there and said, oh, no, we're not going to do anything about this. This is all about the waters that we can navigate and the ones that we can oversee and blah, blah, blah. And it was interesting because the real people in the real world who were on the panel who also testified said, you know what? The way this rule reads, as soon as one drop of water falls out of the sky, EPA's on it. And that is a scary thought. Stop and think about that. As soon as one drop of water falls from the sky, it's hydrologically connected to all the rest, and they can technically get to it. So I think the we fought this issue a couple years ago and beat them back. We have to stay united and work together, all of the different groups, all of the industries. Ag should take the lead, but there's a lot of other industries out there that are working with as well who have a direct interest in this, and we need to work with those as well. When it comes to other water issues, there are things that I am directly impactful on and really like to work on from the standpoint of Missouri River and Mississippi River issues. We had the bill recently, the water bill that we went through, had a number of amendments in there to try and rein in the Corps as well as empower the Corps to do a better job of what they're doing along the Mississippi and Missouri River. We stopped some of the unnecessary duplicative studies that were wasting money, also in helping to empower EPA to do more regulation, and so we were able to cut some of that out. But EPA is not our friend, generally, and as a result, we have to be very careful to, whenever they say they're here to help us, because quite frankly, they're not. But all of you know that. Continue to work with us. We're excited about the opportunity to represent you in Washington and fight these battles. Together we can win. Together we can push back. And I always tell people, I said, you know, if you don't agree with what's going on, you got to get to us, get us information, and we got to push back. If we don't push back, they'll push us over the cliff. We have to stay united. We have to push back. Don't give in. Don't give up. And we'll win. Thank you very much. Vicki.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Blaine. And I join him and the senator in appreciation and congratulations for all of the victory last week and all of the great grassroots work that went forward to get out the common sense message about why it's important to protect agriculture. And certainly there's a lot of threats to our way of life, and this Waters of the U.S. rule from the EPA is certainly another threat. I think it's a federal power grab that needs to be pushed back on at every turn. I call it the Mother May I rule. And if this goes through, I think we're going to have to go to big government and ask Mother May I to plant a crop or to protect our crops or to make any changes or build a terrace or build a pond. Mother May I, can I do this? Can I not? And that's just wrong. I think it's both unconstitutional in that the original intent of the Clean Water Act was, as has been said, a navigable. So you can, for interstate commerce purposes, and that's what the Supreme Court upheld, is for interstate commerce. That's why it was okay. So if you have a barge moving from state to state or a boat, it makes sense for the federal government to have some jurisdiction over those waters. They never intended for the federal government to have jurisdiction over our little creeks or the ditches in our fields or our ponds. That has nothing to do with interstate commerce. And this rule has a very, very disturbing definition of neighboring waters. And that has been alluded to. But part of it would say that any water in a watershed that eventually might get to a creek, which might get to a river, which might get to a navigable, is under the jurisdiction of the federal U.S. government. That is wrong. So we can't let this stand. It also is a power grab to our states and local rights. Traditionally, jurisdiction over water and clean water has been the state's jurisdiction and the local jurisdiction. I see many of our state representatives, state senators here. They're doing a good job overseeing those things. We don't need Washington, D.C. to come into Missouri and to take jurisdiction and ruling over those things. So this is a very serious power grab, and we must, as has been said, I agree, push back on it. I am a co-sponsor of legislation in the House that would undo and prevent this bill. There is, as you know, a comment period where each and every one of us can make input into this proposed rule before October 20th, I believe is the date. I encourage everyone to do that. And hopefully, in the end, the voices of our country, the voices of reason and common sense will prevail in this. But rest assured that I am going to continue to do everything I can to push back on the power grab by the federal government, by the EPA. At breakfast, I visited with the EPA director from this area, came up and introduced himself, and he said, let me know how I could be helpful, how EPA can be helpful. And I said, well, you could back off on your rule that takes over our coal power plants and makes our electricity more expensive for us here in Missouri. You could undo the rule proposal for the wood-burning stoves, and you could undo the rule dealing with waters of the U.S. And he said, well, I don't think we're going to do that, but let us know if we can be helpful. So we're going to continue to let them know how they can be helpful. We're not going to give up on this, and I enjoy and appreciate the opportunity and the privilege of working with each and every one of you to make sure common sense prevails at the federal level. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you to the Missouri Farm Bureau and the Missouri Cattlemen's for inviting me here today, and I appreciate the comments of the senator and the congressman and congresswoman. And what I want to do from a national perspective is, you know, we have banded together as agriculture groups in Washington, D.C., and came up with what we think is a really good tool to show exactly what our concerns are from agriculture. And that tool is maps. We wanted to give a visual about exactly what is the extent of this rule. It's a hard rule. It's very complicated. There's so many vague and ambiguous and undefined terms throughout this rule that it's really hard to do. So we did our best. We found the best data set out there that maps our nation's waters. It's called the National Hydrography Data Set. And we put those on a map. We had an environmental engineering firm do that. And if you have the handout, what I'm going to kind of do is just kind of walk you through what that says. So on the first page, you'll see two Missouri maps. One has blue lines on it. The other has red lines on it. The blue lines represent perennial and intermittent streams. The red lines represent ephemeral streams. And I provided the definitions there below those maps because I know that some of these terms are very scientific. Basically, perennial streams have water in them year-round. Intermittent streams have water in them during the wet seasons of the year. And ephemeral streams have water in them during and immediately following a rain event. A large rain event, typically. So, as you can see, if you add the ephemerals on top of those intermittent and perennial streams, that basically fills in the entire state of Missouri. And you'll see in that box below that what that looks like when you calculate it out is an additional 80,000 stream miles of dry ditches and washes that are going to now be regulated by EPA and the Corps. So that's what this rule looks like to us in agriculture, and that's what terrifies us to death. The other thing, and that's directly related to their definition of tributaries under the proposed rule. Their definition of adjacent waters is also terrifying. If you look at the state of Missouri, which are the other two numbers on that first page, total acres in the state of Missouri, 44 million acres. Total acres in the FEMA floodplains in Missouri is 4 million acres. Under the adjacent waters definition in the proposed rule, every water, if not otherwise excluded, that falls within a riparian area or a floodplain is automatically jurisdictional. So that means every water in that 4 million acres is probably jurisdictional, and that means all the land use activity that surrounds that water probably needs a 404 or a 402 permit under the Clean Water Act. Those are terrifying statistics for Missouri agriculture, as they should be. And the next question is, you know, what do these features actually look like on the ground? So if you flip that handout over, you can see some pictures. And that's the capability of these maps. They can zoom in down to a Google Earth image level, and you can see these features on farm fields, on pastures, and exactly what it means. So you'll see some ponds in there that are connected through an ephemeral stream. Those ponds are now considered tributaries under this proposed rule because they are connected through an ephemeral stream to an otherwise jurisdictional water. You will see drainage ditches in there, connected to jurisdictional water, tributaries under this rule, even though they might not hold water in them but once a year. Still a jurisdictional water. And so that's our concern with this rule, is the exact extent of it is huge. And is that appropriate for the federal government? NCBA and others in agriculture, I know the American Farm Bureau, along with a host of other groups in Washington, D.C., along with other industries, don't think it's the appropriate rule. And so that's why we're pushing back on this rule so hard, and that's why we created these maps for everyone to see what exactly the extent of this rule will be.